Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the prayer call this morning. God bless everyone that is on this call today. We thank you that you've called in to join us. We thank God for every person this morning that has woke up early this morning. And it is early because we are still enduring the time change. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the early birds that are here getting after the provision of the meal that God has provided for us today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your love, and your abounding grace, O God. Thank you for allowing us this day, this new day that you have created, Lord. You ordained, Lord God, for us, Lord Jesus. You predestined us to be here right now, in this moment, on this day, to bring you glory. We thank God for that. Lord, I ask that you would be with us and be in the midst of us, Lord, as you have promised. You have always, Lord, been with us, and you have never forsaken us. You, Lord God, have kept your covenant, and we thank you for making us covenant keepers along with you. Lord, I thank you for all that are on this prayer call this morning. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, Lord God, through devotion and prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let me introduce to you the team that is on the call. First and foremost, we thank God and say good morning to our beloved Bishop C. Carl Smith and Pastor Adrian Smith of New Destiny Church here in Pittsburgh, California, and Oakland, California. We thank God for you. We say good morning to you and pray all of God's blessings and strength and vigor to you in running and keeping the vision of God for us. We thank God for our wonderful, blessed sister, Margaret Johnson, who will bring us our devotions this morning. Good morning, Sister Margaret. How are you today?
Good morning, Elder Claude. I am wonderful, highly favored, and blessed, sir. How are you this morning?
Amen. I'm feeling the same way. Amen. Amen. I'm with you. I'm with you. Amen. And we also have with us who will bring our prayer requests and praise reports, none other than Sister Myrna Whetstone. Good morning, Sister Myrna. How are you?
Good morning, Elder Claude. Good morning, Miss Margaret. I am wonderful. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for being on the call this morning. Well, I have prayed, and so without further ado, Sister Margaret, it is all yours.
Okay. Can you hear me okay, Elder?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I just kind of switched to my headphones to cut down the noise. Well, good morning, everyone. We give praise and honor to the Lord God Almighty. We give thanks to God for our wonderful man and woman of God. As always, I appreciate the opportunity to share the word of the Lord. It is a privilege and an honor, and I am grateful. This morning's devotion is God Confirms His Covenant with Abraham. God Confirms His Covenant with Abraham. And it's coming out of Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Okay, and it reads this way. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence. And be blameless and complete in obedience to me. Verse 2, I will establish my covenant, everlasting promise between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly through your descendants. Verse 3, then Abram fell on his face in worship, and God spoke with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and as a result, you shall be the father of many nations. Verse 5, no longer shall your name be Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude, for I will make you the father of many nations. Verse 6, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And finally, verse 8, and I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, moving from place to place, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession of property, and I will be their God. So again, the title of this devotion is God Confirms His Covenant with Abraham. And Bishop has been teaching on this, so I'm not going to go back over the history of everything, and I'll just kind of summarize it this way in case you are new to the call or haven't listened, been tuning in. But our man of God has been doing an amazing job talking about this. And as you go back and begin to read, just say chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful read. And you get a really good picture of what's going on before God cut covenant with Abraham. So in summary, I'll just say in Genesis chapter 14, there's a war, okay? Just know there's a war. Abram wins the war. He worships God with communion, and he gives a tithe to Melchizedek. Chapter 15, God promises Abram to be his abundant compensation and great reward. That's after he's given a tithe and an offering, right? Abram at that time is approximately 75 years old. In chapter 16, 10 years have passed. So Abram is now 85 years old, and he's still waiting on the promise from Genesis 15. Okay, so remember I said in chapter 15, he's 75 years old. In chapter 16, 10 years have passed. Abram is now 85 years old, and he's still waiting on the promise from Genesis 15. And you know the story. Abram's wife, Sarai, knows the promise too. She's getting impatient. They're both impatient. And so she decides to give her servant Hagar to Abraham and have sex with her so they'll have a baby and fulfill God's promise. And so, here we go. Let me ask you, what has God promised you? What has God promised you? And how long has it been since he promised it? So I'm here this morning to encourage you, beloved, and tell you, dust off your promise from God. Repent if you feel like you've aborted the promise. Recommit to God to waiting for his promise. Because the word says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. Surely it shall come to pass if you wait and faint not. Abram, in this sense, in the word, waited for 25 years. Now, we hope we don't have to wait that long for our promise, but know that God can empower you to wait if that's what it's going to take. Abram tried to make it come to pass at 85. That's what we're talking about with Sarai, right? And he had an Ishmael at age 86, but that was not God's promise. That's a whole other sermon. We're not going to go there right now, okay? But that was man. God confirmed his covenant with Abram, and he did it in verses 2 through 8, where he says in chapter 17, I will establish my covenant with you. A covenant is an everlasting promise between God and man. And he said, I will multiply you, and I'll multiply you exceedingly, not just through you, but through your descendants. Okay? The appropriate response is worship. Okay? God then tells Abram what he must do and that he must obey God's covenant. So let me say this. God is faithful. This is good news, right? I'm just going to go through some scriptures because you got to know while you're waiting, God is faithful. You got to know, even though it's been a little while since God promised it to you, you heard it so clearly in your spirit. It might have been spoken over you by the man or the woman of God. It might have been the prophet that spoke to you and said some things to you, and it rejuvenated hope inside of you, but it's been a little while. So while you're waiting, my job is to come here and to encourage you that God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to read everything in a Passion Translation. It says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. I love the Passion Translation. And then it goes on to say, but God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. Let me say that again. We all experience times of testing, and each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape so that you that will bring you out of it victoriously. The tests, beloved, are not from God, but God uses the tests to bring you closer to him. 1 John 1 and 9, we're familiar with this scripture, right? But I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. And it says, but if we freely admit our sins, when God's light uncovers them, he will be faithful, here it is again, to forgive us every single time. God is just to forgive our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession of sin is just a way of to find restoration, an unbroken fellowship with God, right? And what happens is we restore our intimacy with God through our tender-hearted confession before our Father, okay? So if for some reason you feel that you stop waiting for it and try to make it happen yourself or just let the dream die or wherever you are, if you need to confess it, God, oh my goodness, God, you're right. You said this back in 2019. It's 2024. I stopped believing for it. Forgive me. Just get that thing in, confess it, and get back in line and stand and wait on the Lord, okay? 2 Timothy 2:13 says, God never wavers in his faithfulness to us. And Hebrews 10 and 23, I love this one. It says it all. It says this. So now that you've heard all this that I've said so far, now wrap your heart tightly around the hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within each one of us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. God is faithful. So God changes Abram's name to the father of many nations, Abraham. He changes his wife's name, Sarai, from princess to Sarah, meaning noble woman or important woman. And God is faithful. He has changed our name as well. We are now called God's beloved. We are called the bride of Christ. We are called blessed. We're called living stones. We're called the golden candlestick in Revelation 1:20. We are the temple of God. We are called the light on the hill. So get excited as our name reveals the character of God in us and who we are to be in the world. God confirmed his covenant with Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, that's when Sarah got pregnant with the promised child, Isaac. And so the number 99 means God's mercy and kindness. Isn't that wonderful? the number 99, Abram was 99 when Sarah got pregnant, and the number 99 means God's mercy and kindness. God is a merciful God. Lamentations 3 and 22 and 23 says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 3, talks about who God is. And it says this, Yahweh is king over all. Everyone trembles in awe before him. He rules enthroned between the wings of the cherubim. So let the earth shake and quake in wonder before him. Jesus talked about the number 99, and he said this. He said, any good shepherd would leave the 99 sheep and go find the lost sheep and throw it over his shoulder when he finds it and bring it home. So God loves us so much. He'll rescue us if we need it. He's faithful to do what he promised. And just as he confirmed his covenant with Abraham, he confirms his covenant with us. Jesus paid the price so that we are under the covenant of grace. We are able to enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We are able to bless his name. We're covered and washed with the blood of the Lamb of God. We are restored to a relationship with God. We've been sealed unto the day of redemption in Christ Jesus by the precious Holy Spirit. We're not alone. We have the angels of God who guard and rescue us. We have the blood of the covenant which speaks on our behalf. Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit prays through us and gives us what we need to pray because we don't always know what to pray. God is confirming his covenant with each one of us through his word. God is faithful. God is love. God is the covenant making and the covenant keeping God. His word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes exactly what he sent it out to perform. And I just want to say, we can trust and we can rest in Yahweh, our King, because God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. Elder Claude?
Amen. Amen. God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And we thank God for every word that you have just shared. It's very powerful, this series that our beloved bishop has started and is in the midst of. It is, wow, there's so much in this and so much enlightenment in this. I'm rereading so much of this, you know, and it just seems like somebody rewrote my Bible. I don't know what's going on, because, you know, it just doesn't seem like I've seen that before, but it's there. It's there. So thank God for you this morning. And I tried to keep up with some notes, but the Lord is working very strongly through you. Excellent devotion this morning. And I pray that every person is listening and heard. And we're going to come back to you because this is really, really good this morning. So let's, without further ado, let's go to our sister Myrna with our praise reports and prayer requests. I pray that each and every one of us will get on the edge of our seats, stand up, walk around, do what you must do. But let's enter into intercession with her this morning, agreeing with her in prayer. Amen. Sister Myrna.
Father, we first and foremost want to give you thanks and praise, Father, because you and you alone are worthy. We thank you, Father God, for the scriptures that detailed your faithfulness, your goodness, your resounding grace, mercy, and kindness. We thank you, Father God, for your presence on this call this morning. Father, we want to lift up Christopher Duncan to to you? Who's worried, Father? He's worried about a house that he's purchasing. It's not going to close on time. He's worried because his mom is very sick and needs surgery. He feels like his back is up against the wall. He's overwhelmed, Father God, with everything that's going on. But Father, Christopher knows you. He knows that you'll show up for him. He knows that you hold him and his family in the palm of your hand. Father, you said in your word, therefore do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat or what are we going to drink or what are we going to wear? Father, speak peace over Chris's spirit right now where he is. Help him, Father God, to trust you at your word. Because you spoke it, you will do it. Father, you said that no man will be able to stand before you to oppose you as long as you live. Just as I was present with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or abandon you. So, Father, we speak your word, your promises over Christopher and his family. Help him to know, Father, that you hear him and that you see him right where he is. And let him know that all is well because you will work it out. You will show up for him. You will surround him with your peace. Father, we lift up Dwayne, who desires healing, Father God, has bronchitis and pneumonia. Show Dwayne that you are Jehovah Rapha so that he will know that there is no other God but you. And pneumonia and bronchitis have no power over his body in the mighty name of Jesus. Help Dwayne to live out his days serving you and honoring you in all that he does, so he could share your goodness with everyone he knows. Alan, Father God, and his family need housing and employment. Father, in a market, Father God, that is up and down, help Alan to trust you. Help Alan to see you as Jehovah Jireh, Father God, as provider. Not just for Alan, but for him and his family. Open the door of employment, Father God, that Alan needs to walk through. Close the door, Father God, that Alan doesn't need to walk through, that you don't need him in, that may tempt him to go backwards, Father. May Alan, Father God, be focused on your goodness. And as he waits, Father God, on you, may he be diligent in doing the footwork and sending out resumes or showing up at businesses and be bold enough to ask to speak to a manager. Give him confidence and boldness, Father God, that you'll do it because he's consistent, because he desires employment, because he desires to put his family right before you. So move on his behalf, Father. Father, Bob is asking that you intervene on his behalf. That you intervene, that you move on his behalf. Bob is asking for a miracle. Bob is asking you to show up like never before. Wake up his spirit man, Father God, so that Bob would accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Live his life as Jesus did with boldness and courage to share your goodness. And in that, Father God, all will be well in his mind. All will be well in the MRI results. because he submitted to you, because he cried out to you, because he reached the end of himself and realized he needs you. Regardless of Bob's diagnosis, Father God, may he remain faithful to share you with everyone that he knows, because you're still God. You're still good. And Father, while Bob waits, while he waits for results, give him a song to sing, a song that expresses his love for you, a song that expresses your goodness towards him. And may he be forever in your presence, in worship, in praise, in adoration before you. Father, we lift up Roberto, who desires to go back to Cuba, and he's waiting on some paperwork. Father, if it's your will that Roberto goes back to Cuba, then this process will be easy and it will be quick. If it's not the right time, Father God, then let Roberto know. Speak to him in visions and dreams. Let him know that not now, and let him be okay with it. We know Roberto's sister has mouth cancer. And Father, we ask that wherever his sister lives, that you would send your ministering angels to Roberto's sister now to comfort her, to show up for her, to reveal your presence around her, to speak life into her, that she would know that there is a God who loves her and sees her right where she is. Father, we pray for Mercedes and for her children to be reconciled. Let open and honest communication come forth, Father God, so that true forgiveness and true healing can take place. For Mercedes to hear her children and for her children to hear Mercedes. Join them together, Father God. Unite them. Keep her children protected and safe in their comings and their goings. Show up for Mercedes and for her family, Father God. Show up as a sovereign king, as a merciful father, and as a loving God. May they pray together. May they read the word together, Father God. And may they get to the root of the problem, no matter how hurtful, no matter how long ago it was or how fresh it is. But may healing, restoration happen as you guide Mercedes closer to you and she sets the example for her children. And Father, we lift up Paul Walker for his feet and his ankles, Father God, to be aligned as they should be. Reveal to Paul the specifics as to why his feet and his ankles are the way they are so that he can research and pray those specifics and put your word of healing, Father God, on his feet and on his ankles. And Father, we know that you do all things well. We know, Father God, that Paul is complete and whole in you already. Father, we pray for the healing and restoration and realignment of the bones and the muscles and the tendons and everything else that is connected to his feet and his ankles. You've done it before, Father God, and you could do it again. In the midst of all of this, Father God, fill Paul with a new song, with new adoration, with new desire to go deeper in his worship and in his word. With you. Father, we have lifted up your dear ones to you this morning. We ask, Father God, that each one that we have named by name would find a secret place to be alone with you, to sit in your presence. maybe they don't have anything to say, Father God, but may your presence overwhelm them in their secret place where you can speak to them and show them, guide them, lead them, redesign them, renew them, rejuvenate them, each and every one. You see them where they are now, Father. We ask that you have your way. We ask that your will be done, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored. For you and you alone are worthy, and there is none like you. We thank you, Father God, for the privilege and the honor to lift them up before you this morning. We ask, Father God, have your way. We give you full permission. We yield, Father God, to your word, to your will, and to your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Myrna. Amen for that labor of love and prayer this morning and intercession. I thank God for everyone praying with this many, many prayer requests this morning. And we declare that every one of these shall have a praise report. And we look forward to hearing about all the goodness that God is doing unto every one of these requests, because our God is a covenant keeping God, and this is what he does best. God loves to prosper all of his children and servants. So we thank God for you this morning, Sister Myrna. Thank you for your heartfelt and wondrous prayer this morning. Let's switch back to Sister Margaret quickly this morning to see what else you have for us today.
Thank you, Elder Claude. We agree, Sister Myrna, with every prayer that you've prayed, and we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord has done in the lives of all his people. There's a scripture in Amos, the little book of Amos, A-M-O-S, Amos chapter 9, verse 13. I'm going to read it in a Message translation. It's God's promise to his children, Israel. And so we're adopted children. And so we can claim this promise for ourselves as well. And it says this: yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. So as we close today, let me just pray for you real quick. God, you've already decreed it. Now we boldly proclaim it, Father, that yes, indeed, it will not be long now. We declare that breakthrough is upon your people today. We can hear it. We can sense it. We can feel it. Things are happening for us, your people, that will make our heads swim. We see this happening in the spirit realm. Now it's happening in the natural. We decree your will be done, Father. Your kingdom come for your people on earth as it's already written in heaven. One breakthrough after another. We can't fathom all of what you're doing, Lord God, because one minute there's breakthrough in our finances. The next minute there's breakthrough in our family. The next minute there's breakthrough in our church. There's breakthrough in our relationships. There's breakthrough in our ministries. There's breakthrough in our businesses, our health. One breakthrough on the heels of the other. So many breakthroughs, God, that we can't keep up with them all. It's all happening at once. And everywhere we turn, we see blessings manifesting in the way of breakthroughs. We see a manifestation of what we fasted for, Father. We see manifestation of what we decreed and declared. Manifestation of what we prayed for, manifestation of what we believe for, blessings, blessings, blessings. This is what you, Jehovah Bel Perazim, the one who breaks us through, what you promised us. And so I decree and declare with everyone on this line that finally, we are receiving our portion, breakthrough, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Elder Claude.
Amen. Awesome prayer. Thank you for praying for us this morning. And we look forward to all the awesome things that God is doing in keeping his covenant. I pray that each one of us that have heard this awesome devotion this morning would strengthen our covenant keeping strength this morning in trusting the Lord and believing his promise, not wavering like Abraham, never wavering, and having that being accounted unto him for the righteousness of God. So this morning, let's continue with this word that we've been, you know, strengthened and encouraged with. And like you said, I took that note. It said you have a vision. If you have a vision from the Lord, dust that vision off. Don't be dismayed. Don't be, don't get tired and waiting for what God said that he would do. We keep him and hold him up at his word because he's going to come through. I love that in Amos, like you just shared. It's going to make your head swim. So many things that are, and so many things are happening right now in this day, in this age. It won't be long, folks. It won't be long. The Lord is coming. So let me remind you this morning that for your prayer requests, if you have prayer requests or if you know someone that has a prayer request this morning, direct them to go to the website of www.newdestinyonline. And from the home page, you click connect. And then under ministries, you click prayer. And then you scroll down to prayer requests and you enter your request. And that's where you're going to be blessed with getting your prayer requests prayed over, because we do pray. We believe in prayer. It is vital for this ministry. Well, we have prayed and we have petitioned our Lord, and we thank God for every one of you being on this call. I pray that you reach your destination safely, the road of safety being laid out before you. No hurt, harm, or danger coming to you or your person or the vehicles by which you are traveling in every mode, and that you will reach your destinations safely, unharmed, unscathed, and you will have an awesome and blessed day for joining us and the Lord in his devotion and prayer time this morning. Be blessed. And we will see you tonight. Come out tonight and be in the house for an awesome word. God bless you.